And welcome everyone to another episode of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. As always, I'm your host from Demimonde Paranormal on Facebook.com. And this is our podcast for all you new listeners tuning in for tonight's episode. Now, tonight's episode is going to be talking about the ghosts of the Wild Wild West, the American West. So think about the states such as Nevada, Arizona, Montana, and so on and so forth, California. You've got it, all the western states. Think cowboys, think lawless towns. You've got the idea. Think the gold rush. But we're going to think about something a little bit more darker and more mysterious. What about the spirits or the ghosts of said cowboys that were shot dead in a shootout or they fell victim to some other tragic circumstance? That's what tonight's episode is going to be about. And like usual, as I just started recently, I'm going to be telling you guys a couple stories, true ghost stories that I've found on the web or somebody had submitted to me through Demimonde Paranormal on Facebook to be retold to you guys on a podcast episode. But for tonight, and just like the previous episode, these are just stories that I've found on the internet that I'm going to be retelling to you guys tonight. So, with that being said, let's just dive right into tonight's episode. Shall we? And before we do that, though, I just want to thank each and every one of my listeners for tuning in each week for a new episode. It's really humbling and it's really a great feeling to know that somebody is actually listening to you ramble on about the paranormal. Even from all around the world, I mean, sometimes I look at the list of countries that apparently Demimonde Paranormal has reached and it's just astounding. Really. It really is. So I want to thank you guys so much for joining me for past episodes and for the present one, such as tonight. So without any further ado, let's cut this intro short and let's dive right in to the Haunted West. So, is everyone all cozy around the campfire? I hope you guys enjoy this little background ambient music. It's a little bit different from what I usually do, but to be honest with y'all, I felt like some of the tracks that I previously, you know, picked for the episode, sometimes they get a little too loud in the background, or they're too, you know, bold and loud and extra for, you know, the content of the episode. So I tried to go with something a little bit more calm and ambient, as I said. So I hope you guys enjoy these tracks in the background. And who doesn't like a good ghost story with a nice cozy campfire in front of them and a nice eerie mysterious forest behind them? If you use your imagination. The only thing close to a campfire that I actually have right in front of me in real life is a bunch of candles that I made for my little online shop. I've got one burning right now that's actually called Midnight Margarita, and it just smells so delicious. It smells just like lime candy. It's just, I love making candles. It is so much fun. So I've got a few, different little hobbies aside from making podcasts, but I've got to say, making podcasts is probably one of my favorite. So, without any mumbo jumbo, let's get into tonight's topic, shall we? And I've got about 10 or 11 locations that are just plain out haunted from all around the American West here. We've got places ranging from Wyoming to Arizona to the Dakotas. I mean, it just goes all around the place in the Wild West, if you will. So I'm gonna start us off with a location in Yellowstone, Wyoming. This is the Old Faithful Inn in Yellowstone. Now, the Old Faithful Inn was built in 1908, and it is considered a National Historic Landmark. One famous ghost story regarding the inn is the Headless Bride. As the story goes, when a wealthy woman who was from the East fell in love with a man who was a con artist, her family said, "No, you will not marry him. And if you do marry him, we'll completely disown you." But to this, she did not listen. So what the woman did, she took her inheritance and she ran away with the said con artist. But on their honeymoon, her husband decapitated her and ran away with her money. Long before anyone could find her body, it said that the ghost of the bride, the headless bride, has been seen wandering around the hotel looking for her lost love. Our next location is Silver Cliff, Colorado, and Silver Cliff is a town in Colorado. Now, this historical town dates back all the way to the 1870s. It was founded to house miners that were working in the area. But since then, once the boom town actually fizzled out, as many boom towns that we are going to be mentioning tonight have fizzled out once all the gold or silver or copper had all been dug up and dried up, people move on and they leave. So these places become, more or less a ghost town. But Silver Cliff, Colorado, now the people still residing in this town have seen unexplained orbs and they have seen these orbs floating around the cemetery. And the town itself has been the subject of many investigations over the years. So it is absolutely very haunted. I've got two towns here that are, just haunted towns, and not just one particular spot in a town, but the whole thing is haunted. And our next town that is haunted is Lincoln. Now, Lincoln is in New Mexico, And similar to Silver Cliff, this small town was the site of a brutal battle in the West, and Billy the Kid is said to haunt the Lincoln County Courthouse. The courthouse is said to be the place Billy the Kid was to be hung for his part in the Lincoln County War, but only for Billy the Kid to escape this hanging. How did he escape? By killing two of his jailers. Our next location is the Occidental Hotel in Buffalo, Wyoming. Now, this hotel was built in 1880. It started out as a saloon, but then turned into a grand hotel. Teddy Roosevelt stayed there, and so did Butch Cassidy. The hotel is said to be haunted by a daughter of an escort, and she is frequently seen in the hallways with a white dress on and long, flowing dark hair. She'll tap you on the shoulder if you're sitting at the bar, and she is also known to move furniture around to get your attention. Now, the Dumas Brothel in Butte, Montana opened in 1890 and it closed in 1982. It was the longest running brothel in the U.S. history. It's said to be haunted by the ghost of Eleanor Knott, who was working at the brothel when she came up with the bright idea to run away with a married man who was one of her clients, by the way. So they hatched up a plan that she was going to wait for her lover at the brothel, and he would come back for her. And as she was to wait for him, for them to be together, he never showed up. He left her there waiting for him, but he never came. So, heartbroken, she committed suicide with sleeping pills and alcohol. And she was found the next day in her room, dead. Another spot in Wyoming is the Sweetwater County Library in Green River, Wyoming. Now, in the 1980s, the library was built on top of a graveyard, and numerous counts of paranormal incidents have been reported, such as books flying off the shelves, computers will turn on and off, and lights will switch on and off as well. And also, the most curious and creepy thing will happen You won't hear somebody else's name being whispered, but people have reported that they've heard their own names being whispered by a disembodied voice. The St. James Hotel in New Mexico. Now, the St. James Hotel is a hotel where there is bullet holes in the ceiling in the dining room. This hotel, it was where one of the most infamous cowboys and outlaws had stayed there. Now, this includes Wyatt Earp, Billy the Kid, Jesse James, Pat Garrett, Bat Masterson, and Doc Holliday. In room 18, it's so haunted that nobody can actually book it. It's actually locked. It's said that in 1882, a guest by the name of Thomas James, or TJ, was staying in that room when he was very lucky in a game of poker, but that did not sit well with the other players. And TJ was shot dead in room 18. In that room, visitors have seen his apparition in mirrors and lurking in the hallways. Our next location is in Deadwood, South Dakota. This is the Bullock Hotel. Now, back in the day, the Black Hills Gold Rush was a great boom for the Dakota Territory. This attracted pioneers, prospectors, and the unsavory types in the 1870s. It was also a lawless town before the appointment of a man named Seth Bullock became the first sheriff of the town. Now, he was also the proprietor of the hardware store, and he employed many deputies to help clean up Deadwood's nasty reputation. When a devastating fire destroyed his hardware store, Sheriff Bullock then built the town's first luxury hotel, the Bullock Hotel, on the exact same spot where his hardware store had burnt down. Seth Bullock himself is said to haunt the hotel. He died in 1919 of cancer, but that does not stop guests in the hotel seeing his apparition. They claim to have seen him throughout the hotel, and they have also claimed to smell his eternal burning stogie. Okay, in our next location, actually, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we've got quite a few locations in Wyoming. Or no, I'm sorry, Nevada. This is in Nevada. This is the Yellow Jacket Mine in Story, Nevada. Now, this is quite a tragic story, so just be prepared. Now, the story behind the Yellow Jacket Mine haunting. This was the site of the most of the worst mine disasters in Nevada's history. It caused at least 39 deaths, but the actual toll could be much higher. This mine is said to be the most haunted place in Nevada. The mine is abandoned now, but during the morning hours of the 7th of April in 1869, a fire broke out and spread to the 800-foot level. Just as the day shift crew was descending into the mine, burning timbers and poisonous gas flooded the mine. When the fire broke out, the Virginia City and the Gold Hill firefighters responded. But with low water pressure, it prevented the fire from being extinguished. The fire burned, and listen to this, y'all. The fire actually burned for 3 weeks, not 3 days, not 3 hours. It burned for 3 weeks. But years later, visitors of the mine have reported seeing glowing blue and white orbs. Around the entrance of the mine shaft. Some believe that this could be a sign of the five missing miners making their presence known. Also, there is an abundance of quartz and magnetite. Quartz and magnetite in the area suggests that these two minerals are often found with high levels of paranormal activity. For the few people who had ventured into the more accessible tunnels, they have been frightened off by the sounds of miners' cries. Our next location is in Goldfield, Nevada. This is the Goldfield Historic Cemetery. Now, the cemetery was originally located in the center of Goldfield, but as the population in the town grew to 20,000 people and a train station was built, those passengers decided that they did not want to get off the train and have to step over graves in the cemetery. So the cemetery was relocated by a group of men known as the Official Ghouls. In the middle of the night, the remains were unearthed and moved to a modern-day location. Some of the most curious headstones with causes of death etched on them are residing in the Goldfield Historic Cemetery. And an example of that would be there was one man who died from eating library paste in July 1908, July 14th, 1908. So I just thought that was really kind of an interesting little location to talk about. But we're not done talking about Goldfield. Oh no. Goldfield Hotel is our next star of tonight's haunted locations. The Goldfield Hotel was the centerpiece of the once booming, now ghost town of Goldfield. It was large and stately. It was considered one of the grandest buildings in the Silver State. Sadly, when the town dwindled down, so did the hotel. It's considered one of the most haunted locations in the state. One of the most famous ghosts of the Goldfield Hotel is a woman named Elizabeth, and her story is a sad one. It's said that Elizabeth became pregnant with one of the hotel's first owners, who was George Wingfield. She became pregnant with his child. When he found out about this, he chained her to the hotel's radiator until she gave birth, although he did supply her with food and water in room 109. Now, some say that Elizabeth died in childbirth, or some say that she and her baby were murdered by George and thrown into a mine shaft. But either way, today people have reported hearing both a baby and a woman crying in room 109. Strange noises and temperature shifts have been reported as well. And that has been reported all throughout the hotel and not just one room. So, how many of you guys love to explore abandoned buildings and houses and whatever have you, abandoned libraries or graveyards or, anything, just abandoned buildings and mansions, houses, shacks, you name it? Well, I have something kind of in store for you, if you will. I have a few ghost towns that you can visit in the West, the Wild West. And our first one is in Goldfield, Arizona, not Nevada, Arizona. And in the 1890s, this now ghost town was a boom town when gold was discovered in the area. But in 5 years later, it all dwindled away. There was no more gold, so when everybody moved out, the town was left to basically rot. It sits on the edge of Phoenix, but it's not isolated. It's actually the most unisolated town, ghost town, I should say, that's on the list. But if you want to go visit it or you live somewhere close to it, let me know. Is probably an interesting location to visit. Our next ghost town is in Calico, California. Now, this is located just outside of Barstow, California, and it was a silver mining camp where about 500 mines in the area. Sorry for the loud turning of the pages. It's on a notebook paper with a bunch of scribbling, so it's kind of craggly. But the town was established in 1881, and within 15 years of the town, thriving, it became a ghost town within 15 years, with the disappearance of the silver ore and the people. As part of the San Bernardino County Park system, many of the town's buildings have been preserved. Our next location is in Bannack, Montana. Now, in southwestern Montana, Bannack sits and was and it was established when gold was discovered, and miners began to show up in droves in 1848. In about 16 years, the population was at 10,000 people living there. The town then gained a reputation for being lawless, and the gold had soon disappeared. It actually became a ghost town in the 1940s, however, when most of the people had moved out. You can explore the 60 buildings that still stand abandoned in the Barrack State Park. In Boddy, California, which is located east of the Yosemite National Park, and the town was preserved by the state of it was preserved in a state of arrested decay. The town existed since 1861 after gold was once again discovered in the area. Now, 20 years down the road, it had a population of about 10,000 people living there. But in the end of 1880, the gold ran out, and so did the people. They moved on to another boom town. But today, you can take a tour and see the old mill and the buildings that still stand, withering away. All right, y'all, so I've saved some of the best for second to last, really. This next part is about the Clown Motel in the cemetery, the old Tonopah Cemetery that sits right across the street from it. Some of you guys might have heard of this creepy little clown motel from either Ghost Adventures or some other video you may have found on Facebook, YouTube, or, Destination America. But I personally heard about it through Ghost Adventures. And I'm gonna start you guys off right across the street in the old Tonopah Cemetery in Tonopah, Nevada. So right before we get into that, how many of you guys are scared of clowns? I have a sister who's scared of clowns, and I just want to make a special little shout out to Melissa, or AKA Melly Beans, as I call her. Now she has her own podcast. Her podcast is called the Pretty Crazy Podcast. You can find it here on Anchor as well. So check it out if you're a fan of true crime and anything that's, pretty crazily interesting that those two, come up to talk about on each and every episode of their podcast. It's both my sister and my brother-in-law who do it. And let me tell you guys will be absolutely entertained from start to finish. But without any further ado, let's get back into the old Tonopah Cemetery. It was established in the 7th of May in 1901 with the burial of John Randall Weeks, and it was active until 1911, when the number of the dead outgrew the plot of the cemetery. The town required a new graveyard. There are 300 souls interred in the old cemetery. Many of those souls were Tonopah's pioneer residents, and many of them fell victim to a mysterious 1902 Tonopah plague, which, in today's records, the Tonopah plague was actually pneumonia. And other residents of the graveyard fell victim to the tragic Tonopah Belmont mine fire of February 23, 1911. Big Bill Murphy, a man who was among them in the graveyard, he died at the age of 28 saving miners. And also Nye County Sheriff Thomas Logan, who was killed by being shot in a shootout in a Manhattan bordello. He is also interred in the Old Tonopah Cemetery. The cemetery is believed to be haunted, but it is also believed to be haunted by, and I've heard this through Ghost Adventures again, somebody that who was being interviewed by one of the crew of Ghost Adventures said that they saw the ghost of a clown walking through the cemetery, holding balloons. So, let's get down right into it. Our next part that we're going to be talking about is the Clown Motel. And as I said before, the Clown Motel is literally directly across the street from the cemetery. Now, in this hotel, or motel, I should say, there are over 2,000 clowns inside the motel. It's located between Las Vegas and Reno. Tonopah is a small town with just under 2,500 residents. Now, Tonopah was a very hot spot for mining in the early 1900s. Hami Anand is the Clown Motel's owner. He's originally from India. When he went to a circus when he was younger in his native country, he was not impressed, but with some persuading to return to the circus with a friend at the age of 14, he returned to the circus and he actually enjoyed his experience. The clown stuck with him. He liked that character. So he started collecting them. Clown memorabilia, you know, clown collectibles, figurines, masks, all that good stuff. And Hami was also, you know, helping his family manage two hotels that they owned. So he had experience in the hospitality area of work. In 2017, Hami Anand bought the Clown Motel from the owner, Bob Porchetti, who owned it for 20 years. Hami had collected 200 clown figurines and he added it to the 800 clown related artifacts that are already left behind in the roadside attraction. However, after purchasing the motel, Hami believed that the motel was haunted. He would hear footsteps, knocking, and noises and voices coming from unoccupied rooms. He believed that these spirits came from the Tonopah Cemetery that was next door. but he believed that these spirits weren't looking for trouble, and they weren't going to mess with him. He also has said that some of the rooms are more haunted than other rooms, and some believe that the hotel is not haunted, but they believe that the hotel is just plain out creepy. But others who had experienced or they had stayed in the hotel, they had experienced hearing knocks on the doors. They had experienced hearing disembodied voices, a creepy laugh outside their motel door. They had recalled feeling cold areas and a ghostly poke in the middle of the night.
When you book with Expedia,
and for our last segment of tonight's episode, I'm going to tell you guys about a few little random true ghost stories that I found circulating the web. I found these stories on BuzzFeed.com, so they're not actual stories that had been submitted to Dummymond Paranormal, but they're just stories that I found, you know, randomly. Just surfing the web that I thought you guys might enjoy hearing. So, our first story that we're going to be telling is called This Creepy Camping Trip. From YouPork9. So to begin the story with, I was camping at a friend's family property with a group of friends. They had a huge creepy shop. They stayed up drinking by the fire, and I was the last one awake. Went to go pee on the side of the shop and stood about 5 feet away, looking inside through the window. I noticed what looked like a piece of paper floating around. I thought it was a moth at first, but it was moving in a very rhythmic figure eight pattern. Then it quickly floated back to the corner of the shop where it was dark. I sat back down by the fire to finish my beer and have a smoke. No one else was awake, so I played Robot Unicorn Attack 2 on my phone for a while. I noticed my friend Mark pop out of his tent to pee, then go back in to sleep. The next morning we were having breakfast, and Mark said, "I saw you guys sitting by the fire super late. How late did you stay up?" I told him it was probably 2 or 3 a.m. When he asked me who was up with me, I told him I was alone. He said, "I got up to pee and saw you on your phone with two people over your shoulder watching you play." He said one person looked bigger, so he thought it was one of our friends who was a bigger dude. He said the other person was taller and skinny, but none of us are noticeably tall or skinny. This next story is called This Vanishing Miner from the user Vict. When I was 14, my friend and I rode mountain bikes way into the woods. We must have been 2 miles from any houses and decided to turn back and go home for the day. Walking up the hill we'd just ridden down, we saw this old guy with miner clothes from the 1800s carrying a bucket. He was walking up the hill with his back towards us, but only for a few seconds before he disappeared. We were both silent until I said I thought I saw something. He did too, and perfectly described the guy. We got out of there very quickly. This was in northern Arizona, where they had used to mine gold. About a mile away, there was an old miner's cabin. This next story is from Lord Striker 117. The story is entitled This Scary Blue Lady. When my middle child was about 3, we lived in an old house with a lot of poorly done self-renovations. It had an under-house storage/workshop area accessible from one of the bedrooms. This workshop had a hatch door to the dirt under the house. My daughter always used to complain about the blue lady that lived under the house. We moved and I never heard about it again. The next story that I'm going to tell you guys is from user NJW90. This story is called This Haunted Hotel. My brother was working as a night porter in an old hotel from the 18th century in the northern English countryside, which, you know, you guys, that has to be haunted. But anyway, one night, a woman came down to reception, white as a sheet, saying she couldn't sleep and didn't want to stay there. When my brother inquired as to why, she said she could hear children laughing all night and that a child had entered her room with a candle, stood at the foot of her bed, and wouldn't leave. My brother mentioned this to his manager the following morning, and was told that it was a regular occurrence. Before it was a hotel, over 100 years ago, it was a school. And this next story is from Neverland 443. So to begin the story, me and my family went on a holiday to Indonesia in 2019 and I shared a room with my sister. The first morning, she mentioned that in the night she'd seen someone walk across our room and stare out the window. She'd even heard the floorboards creak as they moved. My sister gets sleep paralysis pretty regularly, so we shrugged it off. 2 days later, I woke up in the middle of the night to see someone sat at the end of my bed, hands cupping their face as they cried. I thought it was my sister and asked if she was okay. I froze as I realized that I could see my sister tucked up in her bed out of the corner of my eye. The figure, which was like a living silhouette, was clearly female, with long hair tied back in a ponytail. I just kind of slowly laid back down, took out my phone, and started watching YouTube videos. I know that sounds stupid, but I figured there wasn't much else I could do. Every now I would look up and see if the figure was still there, and then went back to my videos. This lasted about half an hour until I looked up and the woman was just gone. So this story is from the user Dances with Elk. This one has to do with the writer's baby, her baby's best friend, their imaginary friend, I think. Or is it imaginary? Who really knows? But to begin this story, back in 2001, my wife and I were watching the first ever episode of The Amazing Race while my son played on the floor. I thought that my mom, who passed away a year prior, would have loved this. As soon as I had that thought, a cold chill ran through my body. At the same time, my wife said, "This is something you and your mom would have done, and probably won." Right then, my son, who was about a year and a half old, started waving at the ceiling, saying, "Bye-bye." He often talked to the ceiling, so we started asking who was there and what they were saying, just kind of playing along with his game. He wasn't saying real words yet, but we wanted to encourage talking. When I asked him, the closest I can spell of what sounded like who he was talking to sounded like Annal or Annual. A few months later, I was lying on the floor looking through an old photo book. My son came walking over, saying hi and laughing. I said hi back, but he wasn't talking to me. He started chatting with a picture in the album and was waving and talking to it. It was my mom's graduation picture from nursing school. He had first met my mom when he was 6 months old and only a couple of times between then and when she passed. I asked if he knew who that was, and he put his finger to the middle of the picture and said, "Annual, Annual." He knew what angels were. Is that what he was saying? I don't know. In one final story for the evening, is from the user Martin H1, and this is the story of his grandpa's ghost. So, to begin this story, when I was like 3 or 4, my mom said I used to talk to something or someone in the corner of my room. I would sit down and hold a conversation for hours. My mom would ask me who I was talking to. Then one day I said, "Grandpa." I then mentioned something very specific about him. I think it was his mustache or something about a joke he used to tell. There is no way for me to know any of this because he died 3 years earlier, and I hadn't been told about him yet nor seen his picture. Okay, so that's it for the few true ghost stories, and I will see you guys in the outro. And with that being the end of the episode, I want to thank you guys so, so much for joining me on Demimond Paranormal Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode. And I want to thank you guys so, so much from all around the world. I hope you guys join me next week for a new episode. I don't rightly know what the subject will be about, but I'm sure, you know, we'll have a good time. We'll keep it spooky. We might do a haunted country. We might go to, I don't know, Poland or Italy or France or Canada. Who knows? But, you know, we'll see what next week brings in tow for us. And with that being said, I think it's official. I think it's efficient to sign off for tonight and wish you guys a good night. I'll see you guys next week for an all new episode. And to stay safe, make good choices, be kind to each other. And as always, to stay spooky. Alright, y'all, I'm gonna let you go. And remember, I'm Tori, the host, Demimond Paranormal, and I'll see you next time.